He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Let me play what Ori had to say here, because this like legitimately really shocked me. Like, it really took me aback that Ori was willing to go at LeBron in the way that he did.
Pope tonight, not Murray for a long time, and seeing that they had under control, they just lacked killer instinct and frivolous.
Even on a guy,
unprofessional basketball plays. Yeah. Unprofessional basketball plays in the playoffs of the second game of a team that has your number.
Yeah. I think for me, the first thing I ever learned when I got in this league, Olajuwon came to me and it's like, keep it simple. Down the stretch, the Lakers didn't keep it simple. And what I mean by that is on the offensive end. They started to do all these little screens and all these trickeries to try to get the mismatch. You know what a mismatch was? AD on the post. And when they didn't start going to AD on the post, one shot in the fourth quarter, he had 32 points going into the fourth. And for me, you have to understand mismatches. LeBron is 39. Yes, he's one of the best players ever to play this game. He had no advantage tonight. That ISO at the top got them in trouble. You know why? Denver was able to rest on the defensive end. They sat there and they waited on LeBron to make his move, and then they went in. I love LeBron to death, but to me, that's not winning basketball. If you on a break going downhill like that, I am fine with it. But when you get it stationary at top, and I know people are going to kill me for saying this because I'm talking about LeBron James, it's basketball. Go to the first half. Did we have that in the first half with LeBron ISO at the top? No, we did not. We had D'Lo. Even though D'Lo saved with some threes, the ball was moving. AD was in the post. You was giving it to him in a stationary position where he can make his move. There's a lot of things that went on in this game. You can bring the subs on the coaching staff.
He continues from there. That is all, by the way, via Spectrum Sportsnet. That show in general has really like found its voice. It's been really, really good. James Worthy is a fucking legend. But what do you think about what Ori is saying there?
I think it's the same thing we were just talking about. Nobody is going to take the ball away from LeBron. They probably shouldn't. LeBron, he was out of gas, it looked like. And to be fair, he kept the Lakers in the game late. D'Lo had the little running scoop kind of layup. But LeBron was the one making jumpers and you know, getting the steal, getting in transition himself, got the dunk. But yeah, I think the offense should have been run through. I think anytime you have a player, put aside how good Anthony Davis is, anytime you have a player who makes 14 consecutive shots in a playoff game, like they can't take, I don't know what did he finish with? 19 shots or something like that.
Yeah.
That person has to take more shots. And this has been a series so far that has been lost on the offensive end. The Lakers have stopped scoring. It reminds me, the reason I say it's inevitable, or one of the reasons I say Denver feels inevitable, certainly at least against the Lakers, is it reminds me of not even like the dynasty, or I guess it was all dynasty, but not even the, you know, like the world is ending KD Warriors teams, even before that or after that, where the Warriors were just going to keep scoring, keep scoring, keep scoring. And there was going to be, at some point, the Warriors would turn your water off. And then the game was over because they were going to keep scoring. And if you couldn't stop them from turning your water off for 4 minutes or 5 minutes, you lose. And so I think that's what's kind of been happening to the Lakers. The Lakers are losing this, to your point about the fourth quarter offense and LeBron's offense late. The Lakers are losing this series on offense. Denver is a good defensive team. Denver is not a great defensive team. Denver is a good defensive team. But they have had the ability to gum up the works for the Lakers. And I think it's LeBron's fatigue. I think it is some, to Ori's point and your point, I think it's incorrect mismatch hunting. I think it is, you know, I think a lot of it's coaching. some of it is also on AD, right? Because we've seen this before in the regular season. Some of it is on AD, who has the cachet to demand the ball. And when he is cooking, or when anybody's cooking, like you said, D'Lo took a half court shot. I think it was late first quarter, early second, when D'Lo had it going. D'Lo was like, get out of the way. I have the ball. I am shooting it from basically half court because he knew he was cooking. So it's like a confluence of there's plenty of blame to go around. Some of it though is on AD. I put less of it on LeBron than Robert Horry does. I do think LeBron deserves some. I think it's more on Darvin Ham and the coaching staff. But yeah, I would have run the offense through AD. And I do think it's a fair question about mismatch hunting versus just kind of going with the hot hand and going at Aaron Gordon as a damn good defensive player. So even though AD was cooking, like there, I understand saying like, okay, I don't know. We want to go at that guy. We want to go at these weaker spots, but it didn't work.
It's tough, man. Cause like you said, this is LeBron. Like this is the greatest basketball mind of his generation. One of the greatest basketball minds ever, if not the right. And, mm-hmm. you know, basically asking him, hey man, this has worked for you over the course of your 21 year career. We need to go away from it though.
But, really, by the way, difficult. Also works still. Like he averaged 25 points a game.
Not against
here.
Denver. Like, I think part of what I was talking about with that horse racing analogy is that, like, I kind of think Denver just waits for the Lakers to go to the LeBron offense, right? Because, you know, that's what they can defend really, really well. I think the Lakers, especially when you play Rui in your starting five and you basically have five, like, dynamic offensive players in that unit.
They're five plus offensive players, yes.
Yeah, and then you let your offense devolve into top of the key ISO ball. Like, that makes you less dynamic. It defeats the purpose of having that many dynamic offensive players in your lineup there. And especially because the guys, you know, D'Lo, not a great spot up shooter. Reeves, wish he was a little better spot up shooter. AD,
D'Lo's a good spot up shooter.
Huh?
D'Lo's a good spot up shooter.
I get, but like he's not like Clay, right? He's not
okay. Well, no, you're right. I mean, He's not the second best shooter in the history of planet Earth.
He's not the
third best shooter in the history of planet Earth.
But you know what I mean? Like he's good, but he's not great. It's not what he's best at, you know.
No, I mean, and he's not like a guy that you're gonna run down a million pin downs.
But, and you, but going that's to the corner you're turning him into, right? That's what that offensive approach is turning him into. Is that you're now turning a player who is best with the ball, and it's not. I'm not saying that I need D'Lo with a 45% usage rate over the course of the game, but I'd like a little better than zero if he's gonna be out there.
There's the other question. I said this on Twitter, which, and then I said it again yesterday after rewatching the game. I don't know why Darvin didn't use the two timeouts. And at minimum, when there was a Denver call to timeout,
yeah,
it was a minute and change left. Take D'Lo off. I'd like, if you have two timeouts, I don't understand not doing offensive and defensive substitutions. I don't like,
or challenging or. You know,
doing, I mean, fine, but yeah, like to your point, Darvin, about like in D'Lo's fairness, not going to stand
Darvin has
out there.
Great seats to an incredible playoff series. It's like
mine aren't bad either.
Yeah, I think this is one of those cases where I think points are being made by everybody, and I think valid points are being made by everybody, right? I understand the desire from the Lakers' perspective or from LeBron's perspective to stick with the thing that has won him as much basketball, as many basketball games.
Let me put one more point on that, though. You're right. But when we are saying it that way, and I understand like why you're saying it that way, but that kind of implies like, oh, it's something that used to work that doesn't work anymore. LeBron is the eighth best player in the world still, or something like that, and scored 25 points a game this season.
Well, why am I saying it however you think?
No, I mean, I understand that the point that you're making is like the the implication is like, I understand why you continue to do this. Like, it doesn't work anymore. Like, guys, you, this thing that used to work, that you got where you are doing this thing that used to work, doesn't really work anymore. And it has not been great. Although LeBron was pretty good in the second half, it has not been great in this series. The Lakers, LeBron has been okay. No, he was terrible at the end of game one, but he was pretty good at the end of game two. The Lakers offense in total was not. But like, this is still something that works. It has not worked incredibly well. The Lakers offense has not been particularly good in this series, but this is not something that like is a bygone era of something that LeBron has muscle memory of, something that used to work. And, you know, he's like Patrick Ewing in a Sonics jersey, or Hakeem in a Raptors jersey or something. Yeah. Like, this, like, LeBron is still LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right.
I'm not saying go away from it entirely. I still think it should be part of the Lakers' offensive diet, especially late, but I don't think it should be their only source, like their entire diet.
Agree.
On the stretches of these.
Agree. Games. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, yeah, agree. Absolutely. That's fair.
I like part of this equation actually is Reeves, who has basically disappeared in the series, right? Like, game one, the focus seemed to be getting D'Lo going or getting D'Lo over the hump in that game one. And I thought they stuck with that a little bit too long. Game two, right, was an AD game, which is good. AD was playing great. I'm not complaining at all about that while the Lakers were sticking with AD. But I think also part of this equation with Reeves is that like his legs are kind of gone because of how hard it is to guard Jamal Murray, especially like the like how well I think Reeves has fared against Murray in this series,
and especially compared to Vanderbilt. And he played 83 games this season.
Vincent, that is, yeah.
And he played for Team USA. Like, Austin's played a lot of hoop, and the Lakers had a late run last year where his leg was busted up. So yes, I think that's
I still think though that the Lakers, like, I know it seems unfair to ask this of a third year. undrafted player, but he is, you know, I think for in my opinion, and I know this is probably unpopular, but I think he's clearly the Lakers' third best player, and when the games matter more, I think he's easily their third best player. I know people want to hold up D'Lo, but I just will not go there with D'Lo, given what he doesn't do on the defensive end. But the Lakers need more out of their third best player in this series, right? Like, he's, I don't have his averages offhand, but they're probably all way well below what his season averages are here.
I think he scored 9 points. Game two was like 4 of 11. You know, I'll look at, while you're talking, I'll look at game one.
Rui also, right? I think Rui game two was probably his worst game of his Lakers career. One of his worst games of his NBA career, I would say. Game two might have been for him there. The Lakers need to find a way to get those two guys going. And do you agree? Because I'm already seeing somebody saying that the Lakers don't need more from Reeves. I disagree.
That's only 3 comments below people saying they don't like me. This is fun. I like this. That's fun. I'll take the incoming. Yeah. And it goes back to like one of the first things that two things. It goes back to one of the first things we said, and then something said recently, is the Lakers are losing this series offensively. And so the Lakers need more offense from wherever it's going to come from. The bench has been a complete disaster offensively. But the thing from that I said at least earlier is I don't know that the Lakers can play. I don't think the Lakers can play better than they played in game two. LeBron was really good. AD was incredible. So yeah, if the Lakers are going to get better offensively, it has to come from some of the places that have underperformed offensively. Again, put the bench aside, because you know, it feels like most of those guys just shouldn't be on the floor. So yeah, I mean, the two spots where you're going to look and say need more production are definitely Austin and Rui. Unless, I mean, you brought this up earlier. I don't know. Maybe there is a role for Christian Wood, because the one thing that dude can do is get buckets. And So I don't know. If he's available tomorrow, and I think he will be, everything that you've said is correct. Like, hasn't played in whatever, a couple months, and you know how he wasn't particularly good even when he was playing. But if you're looking for offense, and you don't know where you're going to find it, that's a place you'll find off it. I mean, you give him whatever, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, he's going to score you 6, 8, 10 points. Like,
yeah,
just waking up.
I don't
up.
Think Jackson has done anything that would indicate like he has to continue playing in this series.
No, and here's the other thing. And Christian Wood is a good shot blocker. He's not a good defensive player, but he's a good shot blocker. And I have the problem. So I advocate for AD just guarding Joker. And look, AD can't guard Joker. Nobody can guard him. But I advocate for AD guarding Joker. You have to switch it up. But I like AD guarding Joker. And when he guards him, I don't like sending a bunch of help. Because like, if you're having to send help, then what's the point of having AD guard him, right? Have somebody else guard him and send help and then have AD.
Who the hell is going to help? Like,
who's going to help? And then have AD back there kind of roaming. But yeah. I think, and I've been surprised that this hasn't really been a thing with Jackson Hayes playing with AD, guarding, because then you have some size back there, you know, if for whatever happens, and if AD gets beat, then you have somebody else to challenge Joker at the rim. If, you know, Joker ends up passing, then you have another shot blocker that's not stuck on Joker. So I think that Christian Wood and AD playing some together makes a little bit of sense if AD is going to be the one that guards Joker. So I'm kind of talking myself into Wood. Some Wood minutes tomorrow, just because you need buckets, right? And I don't know that we can expect more from LeBron and AD, and it does not appear to be coming from Jackson Hayes or Gabe Vincent or Spencer Dinwiddie. It hasn't come from Rui yet, and Austin has been kind of up and down, and D'Lo has been very up and down. So that is one place that you can get a little microwave scoring.
All right. This just happened while you were talking, Aaron. Oh. Not like breaking news or anything like that. But it's a quote pissing me off. So after the game, right, Anthony Davis says, quote, that the Lakers have stretches where we don't know what we're doing. And I guess Darvin Ham was asked about it. And Darvin apparently says that it was just frustration from Anthony Davis and that he will agree to disagree. And
what's Darvin supposed to say, though?
Well, here's my thing, though. And like, you can, I know you don't have a big ass cup of unnamed cognac that you could sip while I rant.
I was thinking, you know, like, I haven't been sleeping much, you know, this has been, you know, I've been watching a lot of basketball and trying to get this shit fixed. And so I allowed myself one diet beer. But
I like diet beer. That's funny.
One low carb beer while we're sitting here talking. If you're telling me I need to go get some unnamed cognac, I haven't shaved recently. I need a haircut. It's been the playoffs. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. So, what is Darvin supposed to say?
I think that was an opportunity to kind of look within himself, and any decent head coach maybe would have heard his star saying that about his leadership, basically. And like, here's the thing: all year, the word that I have had described, like the way that people around the league and then close to the Lakers have described this coaching staff, the most pervasive word has been arrogant. And this idea that this coaching staff that hasn't really done anything to this point carries themselves the way that they do. One person in particularly, not even necessarily being Darvin Ham, but like the arrogance on this staff is something that a lot of people, you know, it's come to be kind of a central part of this coaching staff's identity. And like, to have a top 75 player, the second best player on your team, your most talented player,
he's better than LeBron. He's better at LeBron now.
Wherever you want to put AD, he's either your best or your second best player. He is your defense. Like, it's not, he's not your best defensive player. He's your defense. to have your defense basically say, hey, for stretches of the game, we don't know what we're doing out there, and to basically write it off as, oh, pff, that guy, that silly Billy. Like, man, come on. Like, no.
You come from PR. So sure.
Well, but I don't. Like, I think this is bad PR. Like this.
No, that's
this,
what I'm saying. But like, yes. But
this
what
is
I'm
writing
saying,
off
like,
what you're.
What is
what
he
your
supposed to say?
Saying.
He's supposed to say like. No, I'm not suggesting what he should do or how he should feel or anything like that. Because yes, I think that Darvin has not taken as much accountability as he should have since he's been the Lakers coach. Fine. Mm-hmm. But that's different than publicly coming out and saying like, man, I suck. You're right. Like, we don't know what we're doing for 4 minutes here and there. Like,
you know,
what is
you
he
know
supposed
what,
to
know
say?
What, all right. You want the PR way to handle this? Like, this is my PR expertise at work here. This is why I made the big bucks when I was in PR.
What he should have done is say, I didn't hear him say that. I don't know.
No, I don't even think it's that. I would say I saw the quote. AD and I talked about it. I wanted to see where he was coming from on that quote. We've talked about it, and we've addressed it, and
yeah,
we're gonna try to get better at that.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's the answer you gave.
Yeah,
sure. Not that guy. He's so funny sometimes.
Yeah,
he was just pissed. He was all up in his feelings, and he was.
My point is, and you know this because you are a smart dude, but because you're in PR, also like what people say. And what people let you know that they're thinking or say or doing has often nothing to do with what is actually happening. So just because he doesn't say I'm taking accountability doesn't mean that he's not. Or just because he didn't go say, hey, AD, what, when, why, how, like, it doesn't mean it's not happening is my point.
Yeah, except he said it so often and there's enough people who are annoyed with how little he takes accountability in those walls that it's like, I don't know how much he's actually doing those things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd like a different answer, not you specifically. Like, people would like a different answer than the one I'm going to give, but like I don't really care like what Darvin says to make, or not just Darvin, like anybody, what he says to make fans like feel better about it. Like, it just that go win basketball games, then fans will feel better. Coach better, then fans will feel better.
But like, look, when you're a coach, you are in many ways the face of your organization or one of the major faces of your organization. And
absolutely,
you got to be better at this than Darvin has been. Like, he's not been good.
No, you need to be better at coaching. You don't need to be better at.
But this is part of coaching.
No, like, it's not. Tibbs is the most favored son in New York. He could run for governor of New York and would probably win right now. You know why? Well, I was gonna leave that out, but it's because he is the worst quote in the world. He basically calls everybody idiots. Like, every time they're like, "Why did you do this? You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about." Like, and gives the media nothing, gives fans nothing, makes people like. But he could. How about New Jersey then? Maybe he can run in New Jersey or some neighboring state that are all Knicks fans still, because they win basketball games. He's an asshole to everybody generally. No, I wouldn't call him an asshole. He's like short with people, kind of like Bill Belichick or how Pop used to do those sideline interviews. It's not like if Darvin was winning basketball games, people more basketball games, and people thought that, all right, we got a shot in this series. Then, like, nobody cares what Darvin is saying.
Well, if he was better at his job, he probably wouldn't have to answer questions like this about his superstar saying that he doesn't know what he's doing. if he was better at his job, this question wouldn't need to be asked, right?
That is a fair way to look at it. My point is, if the Lakers were winning more, like, it's not an inherent part of coaching to do PR for the fans. Like, it's great when coaches do that, and some coaches have a personality that, you know, plays to that more, but it's not part of the job to do that. So Warriors fans hate Steve Kerr. No.
And you hate Steve Kerr.
I do not hate Steve Kerr. I hate Steve Kerr, the basketball coach. I think Steve Kerr is one of the best humans around. But yeah. No, I do not like him as a basketball coach. However, the point is, like, that is great. It's not inherent in the job. What is inherent in the job is winning basketball games. That is the job, period.
All right. I've held you here too long. The plan, as it is, right, is Aaron is going to be at the game tomorrow. And then after the game, Raj and I...
A lot of unnamed cognac tomorrow, I can assure you. A lot of unnamed.
Just give me an IV. Just an IV. Yeah,
like,
just
be walking around. What are those little things in the hospital? There's those little, like... they're little...
Banana bags.
It looks like a coat hanger, basically. Like a coat rack on wheels where they just hang the IV from. I'm going to be walking around with that. With one of those little hospital gowns that's open in the back. Just wandering around crypto. With, hooked up to the unnamed cognac IV.
The open in the back detail is perfect.
Yeah. Oh, do you want my Red Dead Redemption 2 Lakers story?
Okay, yeah.
So this was when I was on the road with the team. When was it? I think it was LeBron's first year. So road trip, we go to Orlando, start in Orlando, then Miami, then Cleveland. And I was so into Red Dead Redemption 2, which is the only video game I've played in 10 years probably. Although shout out college football, NCAA 25 coming out in
almost
July.
Coming.
Yeah, let's go. So sports games I'm into, the rest of it I'm not generally. Anyway, so I bring my PS4 on the trip with me because I'm just so hooked on Red Dead Redemption. I had never been to, no, that's not true. I had very infrequently been to Orlando before. So I went and kind of, you know, explored Orlando a little bit. Hung out there, and then Miami, you know, we had a good time. We had a few extra days in Miami. Miami was very Miami. It's a good time. I had a good time in Miami. It is 82 degrees when we leave Miami and fly to Cleveland, when we maybe a 2.5 hour flight or something like that. It is 22 degrees when we land in Cleveland. So I spent the entire 2-day trip, other than when I was at the arena or at the arena for shoot around or the game, playing Red Dead Redemption 2, and I finished the game in a hotel room in Cleveland on a Lakers trip. That game is white people shit. But
I mess with that.
Was it you who was saying to play, or was it Harrison? You or Harrison was talking about you got to play it again, that, or suggesting that I play it again while being like as awful as possible,
terrible,
yeah, me. Like the villain at every chance you have to do something good or better or bad or worse, you do the least good option of all of them. You do the least magnanimous, you just do the antithesis of what a decent human would do in the all right, and it's like a different game.
Oh my god, it's so much more fun. It is so much more fun.
All right, maybe I cracked that.
Button. I am deranged when I play it that way.
You still play? Do you still fire it up?
Yeah, I'll hop on there every so often. I think like PS5 does this thing that does not help with marriages at all, where it like tells you how many hours you've played certain games.
Oh,
and like mine is in the hundreds or something like that, nearing the thousands.
It sounds like the screen time, you know, every Sunday morning on your iPhone, the screen time thing. You were up 28% of screen time. You were average 14 hours a day. Mind your business, iPhone. Stay out my goddamn business. Stay out my goddamn business.
Jenna walk by when I'm on the intro screen there on my PS5, and she'll say like, how many hours? And I'm like, man, like, come on.
Oh, so it's the intro screen for every game when you fire up a game?
Yeah, it'll say like,
you disable this feature?
I need to find a way to, because all I'm saying, man, is that like PS5, like snitches get stitches. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like I will go out and get another one.
I don't have a PS5. I don't have one of those. I got to get one for when college football comes out.
Yeah, they're everywhere now. They were really hard to get for a while, but they're everywhere now.
At this point, do I just wait for a PS6? When is that happening?
No, that's not for a while.
Okay.
All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Again, we will be live on the air right after the game. Tomorrow, the plan, at least right now, is to be on the air with the rest of the guys on All Access Lakers. By the way, please do go out and check out yesterday's episode where my dude Rome was on it, Raj was on it, I was on it. We were trying to get Shub on it, but he's out of town.
But that was like the that was three of the four of us who were normally on All Access Lakers. That was really fun. And if you enjoyed that conversation, that's what it's like when we watch games together. You can do that All Access Lakers or no, playback.tv/All Access Lakers is where you could watch the game with us. But I am warning you guys, I am dipping from that broadcast as soon as things start going negatively. And because I am not going to be in the mood to watch this Lakers season end in a sweep. But no matter what happens, I will be right back here in the lounge. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. If you guys are listening in the form of on your podcast, you can find this everywhere, preferably Odyssey. And one more thing before we get everybody out of here. I know recently I've been splitting up the pods and I've gotten a few, I wouldn't call them complaints, but, you know, questions for the process that's going into this, which is still a working process. I spoke to my bosses at Odyssey, and essentially what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue breaking this up, but I'm also going to offer a full unabridged version of the conversation. Now, that is going to have ads throughout, so you're going to see ads on the back half of the show too. But that will, for those of you who want just a full flowing conversation there, that is going to be where you get that. And then I'll also break it up into the appetizers that I talked about earlier this season. And for those of you who want it kind of more subject by subject, you can get the show that way too. So until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Aaron Larsoul. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Make somebody else's. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.